I'm not sure how many of you got to see Lydia dancing to the Christmas music, but I'm there with her. Like, I've been jamming to some Christmas tunes now for a couple weeks, and so I'm glad to see it's finally showing up here at church. So thanks to the band as well for that. I'm gonna pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again just for the chance that we have to be present with you and for your promise of being present with us. And we pray that not just in this moment, but maybe in this Christmas season, that you might help us to at least maybe minimize the distractions that can happen, especially during this season, so that we would not forget what it's about and that it really is about you. And so we pray that you would help us just to be mindful of that. We pray that as we spend some time in conversation this morning, that you would indeed speak to our hearts. We need to hear your voice. And so we pray that you would open our hearts to the things that you would have for us. We pray that as we spend some time in your word, that it would be fresh and new. And Lord, I ask that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. I also want to say thanks to those volunteers who were willing to decorate the church. It looks great. Certainly, I think the best time of year that this building looks. So thank you for doing that. Really appreciate that. Thanks to those of you who came out yesterday at our Fortville campus. The town of Fortville was doing their Winterfest, which was really a lot of fun. We had about 600 to 700 people who came through our space there in downtown Fortville. And so it was just a lot of fun, a really fantastic event. And so thanks to the volunteers that helped to make that happen. Thanks to especially to Penny and to Liz for helping to kind of pull that all together, and some petting zoo out front yard. It really was a really great time. Didn't feel much like winter, but maybe that was maybe for the better. Also want to say thanks to Drew Dial, who was willing to last week share just he and Lisa and their family's story and their faith journey over the past year or so, and how Gateway's kind of been a part of that, and really appreciate that. And as I was spending some time preaching in another church, and so thanks to them for sharing all of that stuff. So this morning, we begin a new message series entitled Scheduled Delivery, First Sunday of Advent. Now, if you grew up in church, the word Advent may not seem that weird to you, right? I call us churchy people. So us churchy people, we might have an idea of what that word is about or means, maybe, right? We at least kind of have an idea that we think it's around Christmas time. Or maybe is that Easter? Wait, no, that's Lent, not to be confused with Lent. And so we have an idea of maybe this word Advent. For those of us who are like, I'm not a churchy person, and so I don't even know what that means. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, the Sunday, this morning, is the first Sunday of Advent, which is a word that kind of gives us a sense of expectation or anticipation. It is a season that leads us to the birth of Christ. Now, the word also has this meaning of a coming into being, right? And so you can certainly think about that as it relates to the Christmas story and the birth of Christ, and how the Messiah, kind of Emmanuel, God with us, came into being with us, right? But what I'd also want to challenge us to be thinking about over this season, the next couple of weeks, is what does that look like for you and for me to come into being in our relationship with God? For some of us, it might be making an initial step into exploring what that relationship even is. For others of us, maybe we've been walking that journey for some time, but you know, we need to kind of figure out ways that we can deepen our faith. And so over the next couple of weeks, as we spend some time in this message series entitled Scheduled Delivery, we're going to be looking at messenger, message, mother, and Messiah. And how then that kind of will connect with and intersect with the sacrament of celebrating communion each week. So each Sunday in Advent, beginning this morning, we're going to be also have the opportunity to share the sacrament of communion together and begin to explore ways in which how might we come into being with our relationship with God in this Christmas season. Now, if you have purchased anything online ever in your life, but maybe for some of even just in the last couple of days or last couple of weeks, you have probably gotten an email that stated scheduled delivery. Your scheduled delivery date is fill in the blank, right? I just had this happen just a couple days ago. And then some of us, sometimes we get another email that says scheduled delivery date update. And you're like, ugh. And you open it and you think it's coming on Tuesday. And then they say, oh, there's been an update. Excuse me. And they say, oh, it said it's going to be Wednesday. Coffee. And so they say, no, your scheduled delivery date update is now like a day later. And you're like, ugh. And I don't know about you, when I get those emails that say your scheduled delivery date is, and they actually put a date, and sometimes they even put a window of time, you know, it's like 9 a.m. to 1, or, and you're like, oh, and my anticipation of that goes up when I see that. And that is the sense I kind of want you to think about in this season of Advent, this anticipation of, okay, God, what are you going to do in me and through me in this Christmas season? That's the sense of Advent, that email that says your scheduled delivery date is, and the anticipation of that begins to grow. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the messenger. And we're going to look at a guy in particular that we've come to know as John the Baptist. If you spend any time reading the Christmas story, you see that John the Baptist plays a role in that story as one who is a messenger, right? So I want to give you a little bit of background on this guy named John the Baptist. Now, if you're taking notes or you have your Bibles, I'm going to throw out some scripture passages at you. You can write them down, and maybe I would encourage you to spend some time with them, you know, throughout this week. The prophet Malachi, in chapter 3, verse 1, God says to the prophet, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Well, then we read in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, we read about a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, we can also read in Luke's gospel that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, are related in some way. And so, John the Baptist was related to Jesus. Maybe roughly an age difference of about 6 months, give or take, you know, whatever, right? And so, John the Baptist, we begin to see that this guy was the messenger that even the prophets spoke of before. Luke chapter 1, verse 76 tells us, and you, my child being John the Baptist, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. These are words of hope. And so we read in Luke's gospel about this guy named John the Baptist who hears this thing that you're going to do. You're going to be a prophet of the Most High. Well, then what's interesting to me when you read about John the Baptist and you read about Jesus, you see that both of them spend some time in the wilderness. John kind of goes out into the wilderness and spends some time there, and sure enough, he kind of gets this sense of his call, and he comes back and shows up on the scene, and we read about that in Luke chapter 3. It tells us that John came from the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Luke chapter 3, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Now remember, Jesus was baptized and then he went into the wilderness. John spent some time in the wilderness, heard from God, comes back out of the wilderness to tell people, hey, you need to experience this baptism of forgiveness and repentance. Interesting to me to see how John the Baptist and Jesus kind of had these parallel ministries and how they worked together. And so in Luke chapter 3, it tells us that John, the son of Zechariah, got the word of God in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And he quotes from the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in. Every mountain will be made low. The crooked roads shall be made straight. The rough ways smooth. And all the people will see God's salvation. Again, we hear about these words of hope. And so this morning, I want to unpack this in a couple of different ways. The first point is this. I believe that the messenger knows the message. John the Baptist knew the message. How many of you can remember the game Telephone? Right, where you start a message on one side of the room, and you whisper it into the and it kind of all around. And then at the other side of the room, eventually the person says, "Here's what I heard." And the person who started was like, nope. Right? How often do you and I mess up the message? How often do we miss it because we don't know it? Because we're not aware of it? The messenger knows the message. John practiced his faith. He learned his faith. John the Baptist, who was the messenger, knew the message. The messenger knows the message. In verse 77 of that passage from Luke chapter 3, we read that he shares the knowledge that he has with those around because he knows the message. Now, I believe that this is why the learning component of our vision here at Gateway of living, learning, loving, living life together, learning to be like Christ, while the learning part is so important, because we've got to learn the message. We've got to know the message. The messenger has to know the message. And so we have to spend some time learning that message. What does that look like for you and for me in this Christmas season to learn this message? I would guess that the majority of us, maybe not all of us, and that's okay and that's exciting, that the majority of us could probably say, here's what I believe. I wonder if the majority of us could say, here's why I believe it. And so the messenger needs to know the message. Not just what you believe, but why you believe it. Second thing is this. The purpose of the messenger is to prepare. The whole point of John's purpose in life was to prepare the way for the message. John knew the message, and he had to prepare the way so that people were ready to hear the message. The purpose of the messenger is to prepare. How often do you and I interact with or hear about individuals who are searching for some kind of purpose? Maybe even this morning, some of us as we sit here are like, I don't even know what I'm doing. My life is chaos right now. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. The messenger knows that the purpose is to prepare. Right? I mean, that's why consistently top-selling books are what? The self-help books, right? And figuring out, okay, this is what I need to do. I got to read this. I got to do that. Here's the formula that's going to kind of fix everything or help me understand my life purpose. In the church world, we talk about purpose-driven life and purpose-driven church and purpose-driven driving and chicken noodle soup for the vegetarian soul. Whatever it is that we have all of these things, right, that we're like, this is going to tell me my purpose. Well, if we're mindful of the messenger, knowing the purpose is to prepare. John's purpose was to prepare the way. What if one of the main purposes in our lives is to prepare the way for Christ's return? Right? John, the messenger, knew the message and understood that his purpose was to prepare the way for Christ's first coming. What if, just throwing this out there, what if one of the main purposes in your life and in mine is to prepare the way for Christ's return? And that leads to the last point. I think it's our turn. I think it's our time. John was the messenger for Christ's first coming. We are, in fact, the messengers of Christ's second coming. And so we've got to know the message. We've got to understand that our purpose is to prepare people to hear the message. And so we have to ask ourselves, if we are in fact the messengers, how well do you know the message? And if you can say, I'm not sure that I know it, great. What's your plan to get to know it better? if you'd say, yeah, I kind of feel like I have a decent idea of the message, great. How are you planning to share the message this Christmas? I would say if you're working on that plan, that first, you've got to prepare. Right? And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that there's a difference between worrying and preparing. We don't have to worry about what we're going to say, Scripture tells us, because God's going to give us the words. But we still have to prepare. And so how are you preparing to share the message this Christmas? And if you don't know the message well enough to be the messenger, what's your plan to get to know that message more so that you might be one who shares the message? How are you going to share the message of hope and peace and joy and love this Advent season? As we celebrate communion this morning and in the weeks to follow, we're reminded that we have a message, that this is, in fact, a table of hope. That we're invited to this table to live into the promise that is hope. That we've got a message to share and that we have been given this message to be the messengers of. And so this morning, as we prepare to celebrate communion together, I'm going to invite you just to be in a time of reflection, in a time of wrestling with, okay, if in fact it is our turn, if in fact we are now the messengers, then God, what do you want to do in me and through me to share your message, to take your message of hope into my community, into my workplace, into my school, into whatever and wherever? And so I'm going to invite you to spend some time just in quiet reflection as we prepare to celebrate communion this morning.